Hebrews chapter 10. I think that's where I was. Let me get there. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to read verses 19 through 25. And I'm sure everyone has their place because I don't hear any pages turning any longer. So why don't we stand while God's word is being read? And here's what Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 says. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, all of your scripture is useful for teaching and training, correcting and rebuking the man and the woman of God, so we can do your work here on the face of this earth. So, Father, I just pray that as we have read your word, your scripture, I just pray that as I expound on this, on the truths that are in this portion of scripture, Lord, that it will fall on the hearts that it needs to fall on. Father, I do not want to interject myself into this. I want to give you all the glory. I want to decrease, and may you increase. May we all learn something more about you here today. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Let's turn back the hands of time a little bit here this morning. For those of you that might be able to remember the 60s. If you were growing up during that time, I know some of you weren't around just yet. But some of you who remember the 60s may have remembered a female singing group called Diana Ross and the Supremes. Okay, I see some heads shaking, some smiles, and I guess I, along with you, were listening to some Motown during that time, and that's okay. There was a song. They had many hit songs, did Diana Ross and the Supremes. And I'm going to do something that I don't normally do here on a Sunday morning during a sermon. But one of their biggest hits, I'm going to sing some of that here this morning, and I want you to finish the line. Now, some of you are saying, but I don't know their songs. Set me free, why don't you, babe? Get out of my life, why don't you now? 'Cause you really don't want me. You just keep me hanging on. Oh, that's wonderful. You remember, you just keep me hanging on. One of their greatest songs ever. It was a song about a girl who obviously broke up with her boyfriend, and now he has his freedom. They're not together anymore, but somehow he still wants to be a part of her life. And he just keeps her hanging on. She wants to be totally free of this guy, and she's given him up, but he just keeps her hanging on. In life, there is a time to let go. And there is a time that we do need to hang on. And it all depends on what that situation is going to be. I'm going to give you a few examples of times in our lives when people do need to let go. Okay? These are in no particular order. And before I go into these, I will say this. I am guilty in here too. Okay? So it's not like I'm preaching at you. I'm preaching at myself. Okay? Some people need to quit hanging on to their stuff. These people have rooms full. They have closets full. They have storage buildings full of stuff that they have collected over the past 30, 40, 50 plus years. Reality TV would call these people hoarders. And these people, they refuse to part with these things because these things have become such a part of them. Or they think that this item that they're saving, they are going to need at some point down the road, so they hang on to it. Well, maybe these people fall into the category of coveting. Maybe, I don't know for sure. I thought I'd just throw that word out there. But my advice would be this. Don't hang on to your stuff. Instead, maybe we need to store up treasures in heaven instead. Then there are some people who need to quit hanging on to their bad habits. They do this bad habit, or they do that bad habit, and they rationalize the existence of this bad habit in their lives, or they justify it away somehow using logic that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. One of their claims might be, well, that is just who I am and I cannot change. And to them, their bad habit is never as bad as someone else's bad habit. But ultimately, whatever this bad habit may be, it can or will hurt them physically, emotionally, or even spiritually. I say this, let's not hang on to our bad habits, and let's develop positive ones. Another one, some people need to quit hanging on to their sorrow. Tears can be healthy because they tend to cleanse the soul of grief. And tears can release tension, and tears can begin a healing process. If we look back in the Bible, when Moses died, God appointed 30 days for the children of Israel to cry and to mourn. Deuteronomy 34, verse 8 says this, "The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over." But there are some people who never get over their sorrow, and it ultimately ruins their life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4 tells us that there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. I say this to those people, don't hang on to your sorrow. Allow joy to triumph in your life. Another one, some people need to quit hanging on to their guilt. Guilt can be good because it can lead to confession, and it can lead to forgiveness. The prodigal son came to his senses over his guilt about the lifestyle that he was leading. We read about him in Luke chapter 15. And we all know how that story ended. But some people never get over their guilt, and it ruins their life, and it steals their joy, and it robs them of happiness. To those people, I say this, don't hang on to that guilt. Confess, be forgiven, and move on. One last one. Some people need to quit hanging on to their past. There are restaurants and other places that are decorated to remind us of the good old days. And it's okay to reminisce. I know that Gail and I, every so often, we'll go to a place in Stanton called Wright's Dairy Right. I don't know if you've been to Wright's Dairy Right. And it's all decorated and set up in the 50s nostalgia. And that's good to go in there and kind of go back for a while. I like to reminisce. I certainly do. But some people, they stay there. They stay there. You know, Israel, some Israelites never got over their past. Once the Israelites got into the desert, where did many of them want to go? Well, let's go back to Egypt. Let us go back to Egypt. Lot's wife was told, don't look back at the city. But her curiosity got the best of her. She had to see what was going on back in her past, back in the city in which she used to live. And we all know what happened to her. She turns into a pillar of salt. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, that no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So to these people, I say this, don't hang on to the past. Find a ministry outlet and dedicate your future to doing God's work. So to summarize those, we shouldn't hang on to our stuff. We shouldn't hang on to our bad habits. We shouldn't hang on to sorrow. We shouldn't hang on to guilt. We shouldn't hang on to the past. And we shouldn't hang on to old boyfriends and girlfriends. The writer of the book of Hebrews is telling his readers, don't hang on to the old covenant. Listen, you Jewish people, the old covenant, it no longer holds any saving power. It's been obsoleted. It's been fulfilled by the new covenant with Jesus Christ, and He is the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Listen, people, don't hang on to the law anymore. And that was one of the biggest thrusts of the book of Hebrews, to warn them. On the other hand, last week we talked about three warnings that the writer of the book of Hebrews gave to his readers. Number one, he tells them to PA. What was it? Pay attention. I'm glad you were paying attention last week. Pay attention to what the writer says. Number two, believe in the good news. Believe the message of Jesus Christ. And the third thing he warns them about is do not fall away from what you have professed. In other words, he is telling his readers that there is one thing that you should hang on to. Even though we do not hang on to bad habits or our sorrow or our guilt or the past or our stuff or old boyfriends and girlfriends, there is one thing that we do need to hang on to. We do need to hang on to that faith that we have professed. Our faith in Jesus Christ. The writer of the book of Hebrews says this in a scripture that we read this morning. One, we need to draw near to God with a sincere heart. Once we do that, where does that take us? Number two, to hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. So we're drawn near to God. We hold unswervingly to that hope we profess. And then the third thing, to spur one another on toward love. I know there are occasions when I need encouraged in my faith. There are probably times in your life where you need encouraged in your faith. That's why we come together as a body of believers, so we can encourage one another, so we can spur one another on towards love. So here's the question that I ask you this morning. Are we really ready to do that? Are we really ready to do that? Are we really ready to draw near to God? Are we really ready to hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess? Are we really ready to spur one another on? Let me ask the question in a different light. If Christian persecution breaks out here in America, and folks, let me tell you, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Are we spiritually ready to hang on to our faith? Last week, I had an altar call at the end of the service, and it's something that, I'll be honest with you, I just don't do very often. Last week, our friend, Tim Truslow, he responded to that call. He came forward, and he committed his life to Jesus Christ right here in front of all of these witnesses. That was a good day, and I hope you had a good week, Tim. So how about the rest of us? Where do you really stand today? If this moment, if this church service was the last moment, the last thing we ever attended on the face of this earth, and before we walked out that door, we died, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you will spend eternity? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, do you know where you will spend eternity? As the pastor of this church, I have been called by God to preach the full counsel of His Word to you, the people of Beech Grove, and to anyone else who might hear this message out in cyberspace somewhere. I preach the easy to understand and the difficult to understand. I preach the good and I preach the bad. I preach the heaven and I preach the hell. I preach the love of God and I also preach the wrath of God. I preach grace and I also preach law, because that's what the Word tells me I need to do. So what we're going to do for the remainder of our time here this morning is I'm going to give you 10 points, and we're going to go through them real quickly, that I want everyone in the sanctuary to know and understand about the gospel message, the message that saves. In your bulletin, there are 10 scripture references and just a blank beside it. Feel free to write beside that blank whatever you feel is appropriate for that bullet. And because here's why I'm doing it here this morning, my friends, is this. It's because the most important thing that ever happened in my life was I got saved. And if there's someone in here that isn't saved, by golly, you're going to hear the gospel message this morning. I am responsible to you, but I am not responsible for you. You're going to hear the gospel message, and you're going to sit here, and if you haven't made a decision, today you're going to make a decision. It's either going to be, yes, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or no, I reject Him. Because when it comes to the gospel, there are no fence sitters. There are no people who say, well, I might decide sometime later. You might not have a sometime later. Today, I pray, is going to be your day of salvation. Number one, from Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Know that our sin has separated us from God. That's the line. Our sin has separated us from God. At one point in time when you were real little and you didn't know right from wrong, you were not part of a what they call an age of accountability. At some point in time, you grew up. You understood right from wrong. And as soon as you committed your first sin, there goes your relationship. Your relationship was separated. You are now separated from God. Your sin had done that in your life. Sin separates us from God. We're all pretty much in that same category once we approach a certain age. That age of accountability is going to be different in everyone. Which leads us to point number two, Romans 6:23. Know that that sin that we committed, or plural, sins that we commit, has condemned us to an eternity in hell. Now I want everyone to understand this. God doesn't send us to hell. We send ourselves to hell. Okay? Let's get that right. I still remember George Carlin saying that he could not understand a God of love who would send people to hell. That's because, George Carlin, you don't understand the God of love. He sent a Savior. We sent ourselves to hell. Now, something we talked about in Sunday school, and I just want to make sure that we get this right in here. This past week, I had an interesting conversation with a friend who said this. At his church, which has several different pastors, one of the pastors does not believe in hell. That, my friends, is a problem. It's a problem for many different reasons. One, the scripture is pretty clear. There is a hell, and it's hot, and you don't want to go there. And it never ends. As well as eternal life lasts for eternity on the good side, eternal condemnation and punishment lasts for eternity on this side. And it's hot. Just go ask the rich man from the book of Luke chapter 16, who said, I would just like a drink of water just to cool me just a little bit. Many different passages about hell. But this pastor said, hell is what we experience on earth. Well, first of all, that's a problem because that is false teaching. And it's a problem in a second way because not everyone on that staff are now in agreement. If there's a staff of church people and there's multiple pastors, it's imperative that everyone on the church staff is preaching the same thing. That's how false doctrine gets in and creeps into churches. So number two, that's our problem. Number three, we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Know that the Bible is the only book that holds the only solution to that problem. There are other books out there, but none of them hold the right solution, because this is the only book that holds the only solution to the problem that we have. We have a sin problem. That problem has condemned us to hell. Now let's start looking at the solution. The solution starts with God's Word, with the Bible. The answer is in here. We need to read the Word. We need to meditate on the Word. We need to have this book in front of us whenever we have a chance. I hope that as we went through our journey through the New Testament in 2012 this past year, that you have been doing your daily readings to put the Word of God in front of you on a daily basis. So there is a solution. Let's see if we can find out more about the solution. Point number four, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, verse 9. Know that our good works cannot earn our way back to God. I wanted to put this in there because I wanted everyone to know a way that does not work. Good works. Good works don't work. Do you know churches are filled with people who think their good deeds get them to heaven? Tons, millions, if not billions of people are sitting in churches right now this morning that think because they're a good person, and they probably are, they are going to heaven when they die. That the good will outtip the bad on the scales of God, and God will let them in. How do I know that? Because that was Mike, me, for 40 years. I thought that it was all a matter of balance, and I tried to tip the scales. Good works do not earn our way back to God. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 4, I believe it is, says that our good works are like filthy rags in the eyes of God. So if it's not good works, what is it? Well, let's move on to our solution. The next one, John chapter 8, verse 24. Believe that Jesus of Nazareth is God incarnate. Believe that He is the Son of God, that He is divine, that He is more than just a good teacher, as many different religions will teach. They say, well, He was a good teacher. He taught some good things. And I won't dispute that. But He is God in the flesh. What did the angel tell Joseph? That He is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means what? God with us. God is with us. Jesus Christ came in the form of a person to represent God here on the face of this earth. Believe that Jesus of Nazareth is more than just a person who walked the face of this earth. Believe that He is God incarnate. What else do we know about the solution? Let's move to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Know that this Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice for our sins, and He has paid the complete price for that sin. Hebrews 9, 22 says this, there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. If I have sinned and I have broken my relationship with God the Father, that sin needs to be forgiven. How was that sin forgiven? By a sacrifice. There has to be a sacrifice. The Old Testament had Old Testament animal sacrifices. The New Testament, that would be us. We believe in the perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. So we believe that Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice to satisfy the forgiveness for my sin and for your sin. The next one, John chapter 14, verse 6. And this is good because as I'm going through here, I hear pages turn, and so you're looking at stuff up, and I love that. 14:6, we know this one. Believe that Jesus Christ is the only way back to the Father, and not one of many ways. What does he say in John 14:6? Jesus says this, and I quote, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Now, either that's a really brash statement or it's the truth. I believe it's the truth. So that means all these other ways of getting to heaven are not going to work. Many people in many other religions will say this, "Well, you have your way, and I have my way, and he has his way, and she has her way to get there, and we all end up at the same place." No, you don't. Refer back to point number two. Hell is hot. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Now, there's the solution. So what do we got to do? The solution, the problem has been laid out. We're sinners. We're condemned to hell. The solution has been laid out. It's in this figure of Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God. So what do? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. We confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Confess with our mouth. And that doesn't mean that we confess that Jesus is God. We confess that Jesus is now Lord and Master of our life. Mike is now going to step out of the way and he's going to allow Jesus Christ to take over because Mike didn't do a very good job and Mike failed. And I know that Jesus Christ will do a better job in my life. He'll do an excellent job in my life because now he is now Lord of my life. And Mike's not the Lord of my life anymore. And boy, isn't that great to just give up control and say, "Jesus Christ, you take over," because Mike makes a really pretty bad mess out of this whole thing. So we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. The next one, point number 9, based on the same scripture, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. We believe in our hearts that the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Two parts to that. We confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Do you believe it that there are actually some quote-unquote Christian denominations that believe that Jesus never rose from the dead? You can't have a salvation if there isn't a resurrection. That's what the Bible says. You can't have it. We believe that the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Do you know if you're sitting in here this morning and you are a believer, you once you die physically, you are going to be raised spiritually from the death of sin and the pain of that sin and the guilt of that sin? So we believe in our hearts that the Father raised us from the dead. And then the 10th and final point is this. What else do we do? What else is part of that human response? We do this. Mark 1:15. We repent and we turn away from our sins. Repent and turn away. There are some people who will teach that once we are saved, we can do whatever we want. No. No, that's not true. Part of being saved means we repent. So whatever it was that Mike enjoyed doing over here, part of Mike's sinful nature, I have to turn away from that and say, I don't want to do that stuff no more. I want to be a new creation in Christ. I want to be over here. We repent. Repent means to turn away. We turn away from our sins. So there you have it, my friends. You've pretty much heard the gospel message here this morning. So the day that you pass away from the face of this earth and you stand in judgment, you cannot say, "Oh, I never heard. I never heard the gospel. Jesus, you got to let me in. I never heard. Well, if you were at Beech Grove Church on November the 25th, 2012, you heard the gospel message. And you are without excuse. Did you know that the writer of the book of Hebrews and I have something in common? And that's this. Neither one of us want to see any of our listeners perish. My goodness. When I get to heaven, y'all better be there. Each and every one of you. I can't force you to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. But by golly, I'm asking you. Will you be there with me? Be there with me? Here at Beech Grove Church, you have heard the saving message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead. So let me ask us all in this final paragraph here, have you paid attention? That's what the writer of Hebrews asks us to do, to pay attention. How about this? Do you believe? Do you believe the things that we need to believe, that Jesus is God in the flesh, that He paid the price for your sins, for my sins, and that He is the only way back to the Father, that He did rise from the dead, and that we confess that He is now Lord of our life? Will you fall away? Will I fall away? What are we going to hang on to? What are we going to hang on to? I assure you, my friends, a day is coming, possibly in our lifetime, maybe not, when persecution is going to stare every churchgoer and every professing, quote-unquote, professing Christian right in the face. And you know what that's going to do? When that persecution comes along, it's going to be, first of all, it's a pruning process allowed by God, and it's going to separate the wheat from the tares. Just a quick story. It's not in my notes. And most of you have probably heard this story before. I don't know if this story is true. And if it is, I don't know where it happened. And I don't know when it happened. But the story goes something like this. I'm kind of trying to paraphrase it from how I remember it. A church similar to this was having a church service. And out of the blue, three masked gunmen come in with machine guns, some type of firearm. And they said this: who are the true Christians? Who are the true Christians? And if you're a true Christian, you stay here. And if you're not, you get out of here. Many, many people left. Many people left that sanctuary that morning. And there was just a handful of people remaining. And once the doors were closed and the people had left, the gunmen took their mask off and said, good, we want to worship with true believers. If that happens here, my friends, who's going to hang on? Who's still going to be here?